Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, has set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect their emotions with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and callers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lights online. Listen to your favorite teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. Join show host, healer and founder of Inner Healers in Peru, Luciana Stiglich, while she unravels each topic hand in hand with her wise guests. Many people around the world have improved their lives thanks to their sharing through the Inner Healers community. Join us for a joyful experience. Shows are recorded, so you can download each as a podcast to listen on your way to work or whenever needed.
Hello everybody, how are you doing today? Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. This month's topic is vulnerability, and our very special guest today is Toni Petrinovich. She's a master teacher, metaphysician, and quantum physics researcher who instructs spiritual seekers how to see, hear, understand, and express from their core, through their heart, the voice of the soul, and there, and from there into infinity. Toni is clairvoyant, clairaudient, and kinesthetically aware of the invisible world, assisting others to access these dimensions also. Through the heart, the voice of the soul, she teaches people the value of absolute forgiveness through the ritual of absolution. And today she will be talking to us about vulnerability. Help me welcome Toni. Toni?
Hi, Luciana. It's so nice to be back with you. It's been a little while.
Hey. It's really, really, really a pleasure for us and a real honor to have you on our show with us today.
And today we're talking about vulnerability.
Yes, so tell me, what's vulnerability for you?
Well, I kind of got a chuckle when I was thinking about it, because if you look up the definition of the word vulnerable, just in the regular English dictionary, the definition is capable of or susceptible to being wounded or hurt, open to attack. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So the very first definition that we believe vulnerable has is that we're open to attack. But then if you go into a thesaurus and you say, okay, what other words are like this, the first word is accessible. So it sounds like the English language is at odds with itself, because if you're accessible, you probably are not feeling like you're open to being wounded. So for me, vulnerability is about removing barriers between my perception that there is something that is going to harm me. So though the definition is that we're open to being attacked, you can only be attacked by someone that you give your power to. And if you don't give your power away, if you don't instill someone else with the ability to tell you you're right or you're wrong, then there is no attack possible. So I like to stay in a state of vulnerability where I can see and understand other people's perspectives and at the same time be accessible myself. But to do that, of course, we have to honor ourselves first and above all. We have to be able to say that what we are as a human being is worthy enough and in enough authority ourselves to hold ourselves as the source of our own understanding. I put a video up on the YouTube not too long ago about being your only, you are your only interpreter. And so many people, and you know this, Luciana, so many people go to other people to have them tell them what is true for them versus wanting to access that information themselves. I know I have classes I teach online, and I also do readings. I get much, much, I'd say probably 80% more people ask me for readings than take a class. Because taking a class means that you're going to learn something and you're going to apply it yourself and you're going to make it work.
You have to take
having
a reading, right?
Right. Having a reading means Tony's going to access my soul and tell me what to do. And this is kind of the mindset of our culture. We're raised to look to authorities. We're raised to look to doctors and teachers and religious professionals and, you know, attorneys and accountants, et cetera. Someone's going to tell me what to do here because I don't know how, which isn't necessarily true. Maybe from book knowledge, you might not know double entry bookkeeping, but from the standpoint of not being able to learn it, anybody can learn anything. So it's really about our giving our power away. I know when I was in Egypt back in 2000, this really came very clearly to me. We were out on the River Nile, and during the night, the little felucca we were on broke loose from its moorings and hit the abutment of a bridge that was in the process of being built. So there was rebar sticking out, and we were in a very dangerous position from the standpoint of the boats tipping over and also the guards for the construction site not knowing if someone was actually, you know, attacking their site or if it was just, we were just, you know, helpless tourists out there. There was no 911 to call. There was no Coast Guard. There's nothing. No one to help you. The only people who were of assistance, of course, were the boatmen who jumped up on top of this construction site and quieted down these guys with guns and literally pulled us off of this rebar that was sticking out of this construction of this bridge. And I was sitting there watching all this happening and realizing how we had to be absolutely reliant on ourselves. If the boatmen, say, hadn't been there, we had strong men among us, in fact, who were trying to help and were asked not to help, to pull the boats off. But we were reliant upon ourselves, and that's how we really started out as human beings, being reliant upon ourselves. And now we've foisted it off onto everybody else knows better than we do. That's what happens in our mind. So then when we attempt to make ourselves vulnerable, we don't have any place to stand within ourselves that says, I really know my strengths. I can stand right here in my strength and be as vulnerable, as open, as accessible as I want to be from an open heart and not be afraid of what's going to happen when I go into a certain situation.
Mm-hmm. So from the first definition that you gave us, the one on the dictionary, you said that it included the word susceptible and accessible. Does this mean that when we talk about vulnerability, the first thing that people think about is being influenceable?
Being invincible, is that what you said?
Influenceable.
Oh, influenceable, so you can be influenced.
Yes.
Yes, I do think so, and I think that people are easily influenced. I mean, just look at television advertisements or radio advertisements or magazine advertisements and how it attempts, each advertising marketing technique is to influence a person to want something based upon something they think they don't have. You're not pretty enough, you don't have the right car, you don't wear the right cologne, you don't eat the right food. If you take this pill, you'll feel better because you obviously are missing something. So in this ability to be influenced, the idea of being vulnerable feels like that it would make us more able to be influenced. And yet, when you know your own physical being, all of you, your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual bodies, when you really allow yourself to spend time with yourself so that you really know who and what you are and you stand in your own authority, then the idea of being influenced doesn't come into play. you see something as an advertisement and you go, oh, well, yeah, okay, I know better than that, or, oh, that looks interesting, but you don't feel like you're influenced by it. So the vulnerability idea does not become that concept of susceptibility. Because people feel less than, and I know you see this in your practice, I see it in my teaching world all the time, when people feel less than, when people feel that if I could just be like that person over there, or if I could just have this over here, I would be okay. When people feel that way, they're very susceptible to anything that comes along. And because there are a lot of people out there wanting to make a lot of money off of that susceptibility, a lot of people fall prey to that. In the day-to-day life of each person, if they start with themselves and how they really feel in each moment and don't back away from the real feelings, then vulnerability no longer becomes an issue. I think it's interesting that vulnerability is an issue for us as grown-ups, because think of a child learning to walk and how vulnerable they are. And then they're literally armored. They're coated with paint by the parents. Don't touch this. Don't go here. Don't do this. Don't. Until this fear body is built up that keeps their vulnerability at bay. And yet their vulnerability is about creativity and investigation and explorers. We're natural explorers. A human being is a natural explorer. And that's what a baby does. And then the parent stops the exploration. So right there, at that moment, we begin to coat ourselves with the armor that says we need to protect ourselves, when in reality, there's very little we need to protect ourselves from. We don't want to walk out in the middle of the street, nor do we want to put our hand in a fire. You know, I get that. But from the standpoint of just being able to explore and play and see what this does and what a sand tastes like and, you know, what do I do with dirt, so much of that is taken away in the culture that we're living in now. And so the child becomes afraid of being vulnerable rather than allowing them to really feel like they can attract better and better things in their life through this very vulnerable and open exploration. A lot of the adults that I run into are just coming back around. It's kind of like they've gone full circle. They found out that everything doesn't work, and now they're coming back full circle to wanting to learn how to be vulnerable and open to whatever is coming up.
Mm-hmm. So can talking about vulnerability include a fear to lose individuality or identity?
I'm sorry, I didn't completely understand your question.
Yes, can talking about vulnerability include maybe a fear to lose our individuality or our identity?
Oh, that's a good question. If we're vulnerable, do we lose our individuality? I feel that being vulnerable increases our ability to be individual. It increases our the individual versus personality. Personality is sort of something that you grow. You grow your personality based on what happens in your life. The idea of individuation is more of a soul word. You come in as an individuated aspect of the source. So the individual itself is part of the whole and yet is an expression in a unique way. The more vulnerable you are, which equals the more open-hearted, the more available, the more accessible, going back to the thesaurus, the more unprotected you are, the more you access the individual traits that you naturally came in with. So you might say, I came in with a natural penchant for playing the piano. And when I was three, my mother put me on the piano bench, and I just started playing and fluffing around because this is just inherently in me. The personality you grow could be one of having to be an accountant because that's the direction your parents set you on and you are afraid to defy them. So the individuation, once you make yourself available, accessible, and open to what you as an individual are capable of expressing, has an opportunity to come to the fore. One of the interesting things about our physical bodies is that our physical body can be in one of two states. It is either growing and thriving, or it's dying. Now, I realize we're all, you know, eventually going to die, but I'm talking about dying from the standpoint of disease and ill health. When we are in fear, when we are in a protective mode, when we feel we have to shut down, when we turn off our accessibility, we are telling our DNA and the cells in our body that there is something here that is not worth living for. And this is where disease originally has its place to sit, its place to live. And because there's only those two choices within the physical body, we, because we're the captain of the ship, have the opportunity to tell our body, you can be unprotected, you can feel accessible, you can thrive here. And it's our decision. Even if we're raised in an abusive family, even if we've had abusive relationships, even if all these things, tra-la-la-la-la, it's up to us to make the decision to absolve all of that so that we make our body a vessel of thriving and we really can depend on it to be a vehicle that is fully blossoming in this world and enjoying life versus being afraid of things that come along because of what outcome might show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about when we were little. What happens when we get to age two?
We get to age two?
Yes.
When we within the brain, when you get to age two, you begin to realize that you are not your mother. And you could say in parentheses, and your father, but it's really the mother because the mother's carried you in the womb.
Yes.
At age two, you begin to differentiate yourself from...
So at age two, you're definitely sure that you're not your mother. I guess it starts when we are 6 months, right? And it goes on until we get to two.
Right. And so, you know, the terrible twos means this being that you thought was a part of you is going to become very distinctly not a part of you in this moment. And it's going to say, no, mine, I take this. And this is really the beginning of that creative drive, that exploring drive. Up until that point, maybe they're usually exploring themselves. You know, oh, I have toes, oh, I have fingers, oh, there's the breast, oh, there's the bottle. You know, there's all this exploration that is centered on itself. But around two, and it's not right at two, but around two, the baby begins to say, oh, there's stuff out there, and it all belongs to me. It's mine. This is my world. I want it all. And to the degree that the parent can set up a baby-friendly house so that children don't run into things that would, you know, physically hurt them, to that degree can the child be free to wander and find out how much noise pots and pans make and what it's like to color on a piece of paper that's hung on the wall rather than color on the wall, and just to kind of, you know, throw out all these creative aspects of itself rather than being tied to a specific set of beliefs or decorum that the parent thinks is appropriate. And because of our families now, where usually mother and father both work and there's a lot going on in the household, this is asking a lot of parents, unless one parent is really just a dedicated parent and spends their time, you know, being there for the child.
Mm-hmm. And then when we get to age, I guess it was 9?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking on a video that we placed on our Inner Healers blog. You were talking about how age 9 affects our development.
Well, right about 9 years old, 7 to 9, right in there, the intellectual side of the mind begins to kick in. A lot of it has to do with, because... Let's back up a minute. Because our bodies and our brain-mind complex change as a species based upon input from the environment, the idea that between, say, 7 and 9, and sometimes it's 7 and 10, people begin to become more interested in intellectual pursuits. It's a feedback loop. It's also because about that time, in a child's life, either they were sent out in the fields to work or they were taught, sometimes both. Sometimes you had work in the field and then you also had book learning. But the beginning of teaching children in the Western world, not back in the old days of, you know, Plato and Socrates. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Western world right now, the kind of culture we're used to. The basis of schooling was to teach children how to read so they could read the Bible. So it's basically religion-based to begin with, schooling in, say, the Western cultures. In that, because of the feedback loop of it, then the being, the Homo sapien, began to use that age span to begin to become intellectually curious. And this is where children will begin to show propensities towards what is natural for them to learn, to be, to do. What's happening now, because as a Homo sapien species, we are changing, is that the schools themselves are not up to speed with what the children are desiring to learn, which is much more creative and free form than the schools that are quite outdated are able to provide. So there's a lot of rebellion in the schools right now, and we see it, you know, in the news and what's going on, and sometimes it's very to the extreme with guns, whatever, but just on a day-to-day basis, the children are basically saying, okay, fine, I get it, but I need more than this. And the stimulus to the cortex itself is being found in video games, is being found in the loud music, is being found in how fast everything is moving. And I know some people are afraid of this. You know, some adults are saying that children are becoming addicted to videos and et cetera. It's the way that their brain-mind complex has of growing. And if we remove from ourselves the fear of what this means, we'll realize that the speed with which thought can be transmitted is basically limitless. So these children are exhibiting the beginnings of living without limitation, which takes us back to vulnerability, because if you're going to live without limitation, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be absolutely accessible to whatever's coming. You can't say, no, I won't go in that direction and block that, because you've blocked your own creativity. Creativity is free flow. It has no barriers. It has no boundaries. It just does what it does. And if there's boundaries around it, like coloring in a coloring book and you have to stay in the lines, that's not creative. That's just teaching you to obey. So creativity allows you to flourish, 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 and that's what the children are saying. They're saying we need so much more than is here. But at the same time, this is the lovely part, they're the ones who are going to literally recreate the school system. Because as they grow up and they become mature adults making choices about what they want to do in life, they'll say, okay, this did not agree with me when I was a kid. Now I'm old enough to change it.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that until this age, our fear of abandonment doesn't affect our creativity or our curiosity for exploring the outer world?
So the movie I did on abandonment, has to do with basically from the moment you're born, the very moment you come out of the birth canal, you begin to experience abandonment. The womb has abandoned you, and you're not thinking this thought. It's a feeling that's in the physical body. It's a sense of separation. So when people say, I have abandonment issues, as though we're supposed to have a drum roll in the background, we all have abandonment issues, if that's what we want to call it. I mean, it's really the
because
name
it
you give
somehow
something.
It somehow starts when we are being born, right? We're just being separated from the womb, from our mother's womb.
Right. So because it's natural to us, if we take the significance out of the idea of being abandoned, and we just get rid of that idea, like just pretend that there's no such thing as abandonment, we level the playing field. We abandon the idea of being abandoned and realize that everyone, to a certain degree, feels separate, because that's what abandonment is about. It's about separation. And that the idea that that's an issue then becomes a non-issue. Most of the issues people have in their lives are things that they have kind of conjured up based on significance for themselves. And when the significance is released from this abandonment idea, the freedom, here we go back to vulnerability, the freedom to be vulnerable does not look scary. It doesn't feel frightening. Because the idea that everyone feels separate, I mean, you don't feel a lot different than I do about being on the planet Earth. You're younger than I am. You live in a different country. But that's, you know, basically it from the standpoint of things that are different. You have hopes, dreams, wishes. You have basic things you do during the day. It's all kind of the same no matter where you are or what you look like or what's available. The idea of what a human being desires is basically the same. So once we realize that, then we realize that we all have this sense of separation, which you could call abandonment, and it no longer becomes an issue. We can stop using it as an issue. We can stop thinking that it means something. All it means is
what
that...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Why is it that if we have this sense, since we are child, you know, since we are children, because we are kind of born with this sense of abandonment, why is it that when we are children, you know, around 7 or 9, we are a lot less afraid of exploring our reality, of using our creativity, than when we are adults?
Because the longer you live, because of the way the culture is structured, it's the mass consciousness, it's the societal mind, it's the mass consensus, it's what's out there in the ether, so to speak, of what the mind is. The longer you live, the more experiences you have. If you allow yourself to be influenced, going back to your question about that, if you allow yourself to be influenced by the mass mind, you begin to feel that you have to compare yourself to something else. You have to live up to something else, and you stop your creativity when somebody doesn't come along and say, wow, that's great. So if you're in school, you're taught to paint, you're in painting class, and you do this very creative, splashy, whatever, and the teacher comes along and says, no, that's wrong. I told you to draw a dog. Right there, you've been told you're wrong. Now, unless somebody comes along and supports you and says to the teacher, look, at my child's creative, leave him alone, that is going to start, it's like you put down one brick, and then the next brick, and then the next brick, and the next brick, and pretty soon you've got a wall. Every time somebody says to you, I don't like what you're doing, you're wrong, it shouldn't be that way, because of the culture we live in, if you are influenced by that, then you stem the exploration side of you, the creative side of you. I'm a child of the 60s in San Francisco, and that's what the 60 rebellion was all about. People call it, you know, the peace and the love generation. It was about saying, we're not going to be bounded anymore. We're going to let our creativity flow. Tie-dye, splash, everything was, you know, bright, loud music, etc. It's about this burst of creativity that says, you can't hold us back anymore. We won't be held back anymore. And that's really what I'm talking about with the children in school right now, is that they are exhibiting the tendencies for that kind of transformation, to say, you can't tell me I'm wrong anymore just because on page 6 of a book it says I need to draw a dog. I don't need to draw a dog. I need to splash this red paint all over the paper. And this is going to lead to something else that I'm going to create. So it's really about what you were talking about being influenced and being susceptible to the influence. And at the same time, if the child could keep his or herself open and vulnerable to the creative flow within inside themselves and has any kind of support at all by parents or some great teacher, then they will begin to sort of focus upon that person and feel the support that allows them to grow themselves in the way that they desire to grow the most.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, how does abandonment awake our survival shield?
How does abandonment awake what?
Our survival shield?
Abandonment, when you feel abandoned, it awakens the survival shield because you feel like you have to shield yourself from the world. You have to protect yourself. And this is different than wanting solitary time or just time to be alone. You feel like the world is out to get you, that you can't trust anything, that you will be betrayed by life as it is. Life does not betray us. We betray ourselves. I'm looking across the street at these beautiful trees and bushes blowing in the wind. Nothing in that forest over there will ever betray itself. It will always live according to the laws of nature. It's only the human being that sets up beliefs in themselves that say, if this doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, then I've been betrayed. So we set up our own betrayal, and it is the idea of betrayal that is underneath the idea of abandonment, which puts up this shield that says, this isn't going to happen to me again. But because wherever we put our focus, that's what we get more of, you only get more of it the more you focus upon it. letting yourself dissolve the shield and allowing yourself to not get caught up in the idea of being abandoned, but feeling what you want to flow towards, what you want to be creative about, what you want more of and more of and more of, then dissolves these ideas that you have to protect yourself, because there's nothing to protect yourself from. In fact, you really can't. The more you try to protect yourself, the more you make of the thing that you try to protect yourself from, because that's where your focus is, and that's the only way that this universe works.
And what's the relation between vulnerability and our sense of security?
For me, the deepest sense of security I can have is in how vulnerable I can make myself. If I make myself so vulnerable equals accessible that I am not afraid of any person, place, or situation, then no matter what happens, I'm ready for it. Because I've already taken down any barrier between me and what I believe is going to happen. What happens for most people is that they think that they have to shore themselves up against something, which means that they create it. So when you are absolutely vulnerable and absolutely open to anything that comes along, and somebody does say something to you that is, say, hurtful, you have already opened yourself up. It isn't like you're trying to make everything be a certain way and people come along and they've done something to remove that wonderful idea you've had. You're already completely open to whatever happens. And so somebody says something really hurtful to you, and instead of trying to protect yourself, you can just say, oh, wow, what did you say that for? Because you already know that you're not going to instill their comment with a need for protection. And when you don't feel you have to protect yourself from anything, you're free. And for me, that's what it's all about. Life is about freedom. How free can I possibly feel so that I don't feel that I have to be bounded by anything or protect myself from anything at all?
So we're in the last few minutes of our show. Are there any last words you would like to share with our listeners on how can they experience vulnerability? Because there are sometimes when people say, I want to be vulnerable, but I don't know how to do it. What would you tell them?
Well, first of all, you have to honor yourself first, so that you're first in your thoughts and in your feelings. I would say, and this is always fun, and take baby steps, because you don't need to go and jump in front of the saber-toothed tiger coming to eat you alive. Take some situation that you feel moderately unsafe in, moderately unsafe. Walk into that situation absolutely open and don't take anything personally. So let's say, for instance, you have some kind of family situation that's really uncomfortable. Go into that family situation and know that none of it has to do with you. Just put that thought in your mind and operate from that place, so that no matter what anybody says to you, no matter how they look at you, no matter what's going on in that family situation, you don't try and protect yourself. You simply ask the question, why? So mom looks at you and says, what did you wear that dress for today? And you say, oh, wow, I felt like it. Why did you ask that question? Well, you know I don't like that dress. Oh, really, Mom? Why don't you like that dress? And you always take it back to the other person. You never defend yourself. You're never in a defensive posture. You take it back to the other person. You will find out more about the people you think you know, and you will absolutely open doors of communication that have never been opened before.
And what would you tell those who say, I do not want to be vulnerable?
Then don't be, until you do. I'm not here to try and make you do anything. Oh, there's people out there who are just, they're absolutely sure they're right. So don't go for it. How's it working for you? Is that working for you?
Yeah, and then you stare at their face, right, and see what's the reaction. They sometimes really don't look happy when they say that. Do you think that expressing vulnerability can help people experience happiness?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, would you say that expressing our vulnerability can help us experience happiness?
Oh, absolutely, because then you just don't really care. If you're truly vulnerable, if you're truly accessible, you don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. The thing that's really interesting about people and audience listening, really, really get this. If you get this, you've got it. No one says or does anything because of you. They always do it because of themselves. Something's going on with them. It never has anything to do with you. You've simply walked into friendly fire, and you've gotten caught in it. If you take it back to them, and you just keep taking it back to them, you will find out how true that statement is. Because then you're happy in life. Then you realize no one is really thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves in relation to you and how they compare.
That's beautiful. Thank you for your words, Tony, and hope to have you again soon. Thank you very much for being with us today here.
Okay. Thank you, Luciana. Bye-bye, everybody.
Big hug. Bye-bye.